Hey, turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at one verse this morning. We're not going to be in Luke. We'll pick up again next week in the book of Luke. But today we'll be start off in Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 3. Exodus 13, verse number 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. So we come to this section where God is reminding Moses about how the children of Israel were delivered. They're supposed to remember certain things. Today, of course, is Memorial Day, and it's primarily in remembering those who have died, who have given their lives to keep the freedom in this nation. It could be loved ones. It could be friends that we knew, or those who have died for this country that we didn't know, but they gave their lives for this country. We are instructed dozens and dozens of times in the Word of God to remember certain things. And the Israelites were admonished to keep to their remembrance various days and events in their national history, just like we do. We observe many things as far as our nation is concerned. But I want to call your attention to some things that are worthy for us to remember today as Christians. Not only what Memorial Day means, but a lot of other things. Common sense things. Boy, that's going out the window today too, isn't it? Common sense. But still, things that we need to be reminded of. So let's go through, let's consider this to be a photo album. Everybody likes to go through a photo album. It's like when you talk to somebody and that you say, you're talking about witnessing. Oh, well, I don't think I could witness because I'm so shy and I'm so backward and I just couldn't do it. And so then I try sometimes to change the subject, especially if it's an older person and they have grandchildren. And I said, "Oh, I said, well, do you have any grandkids?" "Oh, yes. Oh my!" And they'll go on for an hour and a half to 2 hours talking about that. I said, "Do you have any pictures?" "Oh my! Let me show them to you." Whoop! You know, and of course they go through. And I'm very serious and I pay attention to these pictures. And I said, "You know, that's the same principle of witnessing for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to share those wonderful pictures and the stories you have about those grandchildren that God gave you. Well, it's just as wonderful to tell people too about the salvation and all the things that He has given to us now that we are saved." So it is pretty simple to witness. But let's pretend we have a picture album today. Let's take a look. First thing we want to look at, we should remember the time and place of our salvation. Now, not everybody can remember the exact time and place. But most people, especially that have joined here, they actually, we have them fill out a membership paper, one sheet long, and we ask them when they were saved. Most of them can tell you, man, the date, they can tell you the place, and it's just exciting for them to remember that. I remember, it's not in this Bible, but it's in the Bible before this one. I remember because I wrote down the date and the time in my Bible. I wrote it down. I wanted to remember because I know as I get older, I haven't reached that yet. As I get older, I might forget. Well, I can just open up that Bible and say, "Here, here's when I got saved." Not that it matters because God knows when I got saved. Amen. That's the most important thing. I remember the place, and mainly because I was there. Yeah, I remember the place where I was saved. I was there. Yep. Number two, we should remember the pit that was prior to our salvation. Now, what in the world do we mean by that, the pit? How about bringing to our memory and picture of word form, Psalms 9, verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid in their own, hid is their own foot taken. Then I think of another, Psalms 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. What's that rock? Jesus Christ, the only foundation that really counts. And then, of course, we have number three in our outline. We should remember the feeling which followed our salvation. Now, sometimes it's nothing exciting or big or grandeur. Lights don't go off and fireworks don't explode unless you got saved on the 4th of July at the fireworks. I don't know. But that might necessarily happen. But it was an exciting time. Now, sometimes it's more exciting for some people than others because some get saved when mom is at their bedside. They're 3 years old or 4 years old. Maybe not quite exciting. But when you were 30 years of age and you got saved, it's a little bit more excitement involved with that when you realize what God has saved you from. Some of those feelings are not so much joy as, well, they are too, tears of joy, realizing that you're not going to that pit. That wasn't prepared for you in the first place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. So there's something to rejoice over. And that certainly brings good feelings to a person, doesn't it? That certainly does. So we said we should remember the feeling which followed our salvation. Now, something that kind of goes along with that, but at least we need to remember this. Now, I've been saved for quite a few years. Many of you have too. But I think of Revelation chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, where God is talking to the churches. And he says, nevertheless, to one of these churches, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, sometimes we get away from that first love. And then in verse 5 it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. And that's not talking about losing your salvation. Talking about losing that first love. That excitement that you had. If you were saved later in life, that you felt, whether you were 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, whatever it was. When a person falls, he falls from one level to a lower level. It never works the other way. You never fall upward. You always fall downward. So Jesus said, what did he say here? What did he say in this verse? He said, number one, remember. Number two, repent. And number three, return. Remember what David said in his psalm. He asked God, and I believe this was probably a time, he had a couple low times in his lifetime where he kind of felt alone and distressed, but I think this might have happened after he had committed that sin with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet came to him and reminded him, you sinned, you need to repent of that. And what does David say? I believe it's in Psalms 51. Lord, restore unto me. Did he say my salvation? No. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You're only saved once. Just make sure you're saved once. Because you're still in that flesh. You still have that old nature. That's going to be gone one of these days too. When we get glorified bodies. But in the meantime, we still fail God, and we still remember that we can go boldly before his throne and ask forgiveness. And guess what he does? He forgives us. He forgives us. So that's so very important, too. We should remember the feeling which followed our salvation. Number four, we should remember our vows and commitments. We should remember our vows and commitments. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Well, that makes a difference there, doesn't it? That makes a difference. Well, there, when we think about that, we should remember our vows and commitments. Well, we can make vows and commitments to our spouse, to others, but most important, vows to God. We can make vows to God. Now, I just picked this out of random, but you can fill in your own idea of this. Our vows to God. Well, that could consist of making a vow to God to maybe teach, maybe learn how to teach and teach a Sunday school class. Well, if you make that vow, then do it. Now, we all understand that there comes a time in our lives when we do make a vow and we want to, let's say it is, to teach. Now, I know it's very hard for you to believe, but there'll come a time when it would not be good if I would stand before you and I didn't know what the next statement I was going to make, and I'd be able to say it to you or tell you that. There's going to reach a time when it's probably wise for me to step aside from the call that God had. That doesn't mean I can't do other things. I remember a pastor that I sat under for many, many, many years. He was at his church for 60-some years. And eventually, he got older. He eventually did step down. He became a pastor emeritus. And I just found out, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago, they had to actually relieve him of his duty of teaching Sunday school. They still had him do that. Why? Dementia had set in. And that was very sad, very sad. And I can remember when I was saved, the first church that I, well, it wasn't the first church I went to, but the first church I found where I thought I could grow in the Lord and learn scripture, I went there. And I attended for 28 years. And I sat under his ministry and I learned a lot of Bible. I learned a lot of Bible. And now today, it's sad, but the only thing that is happy and joyful to remember is all of the men and women and the boys and girls that his ministry influenced when the Lord used him to reach others. That's tremendous, isn't it? Tremendous. Or vows to God, maybe to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe to witness more often. There's a vow that some people make to the Lord. Or another one, a vow you make to God sometimes is to live a holy life, to live a more holy life. Nothing wrong with that. Number four, to answer his calling in our lives, whatever that might be. I always tell people, if you have a talent, if you have an ability, and you don't belong to a local church, you find one, you become a member, and you use it. You use that talent and you use that ability to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Whatever that ability or that talent is, use it. Make a vow to God and then stick to it. Our vows to our spouse, to love, to honor, to cherish, to keep self for the other, You know, I've gone to weddings already where lots of people have taken out the commitment part of the ceremony. And I never could understand that. Some have actually taken out until death do us part. They've taken out in sickness or in health. They've taken it out. Most of you, if not all of you, know that I was married before. My first wife passed away. But for the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, maybe not quite that long when she was still alive, I literally had to do everything. And you can fill in the blank for everything. The cooking, the cleaning, and all the other stuff that went with it. Why? Because I made a commitment. When I was, we got married young. When I was 19 years of age, we got married and I made a commitment. For better or for worse. Sickness and in health. Until the end. Until the end. Our vows to our spouses. Vows to others. To pray for certain needs. We do that not only on Wednesday night, although that's when we update the list, but we pray. We pray for others, one another, and for the needs of others. And we also, in certain ways, make vow to offer what help they need, too, and reach out to them. That's so important. We should remember our vows and our commitments. That's so very important. So very important. Then number five. Kind of goes along with this, but let's look at it anyhow. Refresh our memories. We should remember our brethren. We should remember our brethren. Now, on our prayer list, if you get one, you will see on there that we have a list of churches that we pray for, the church and the pastor. And if they have an assistant pastor, we pray for them too. Because we consider all of them to be sister churches. We might have some differences, but not any doctrinal differences. And we pray for them. That's part of praying for the brethren. There are people that used to come here that don't come here anymore. That I know that many of us, and I know Mary Ann and I, still pray for those needs that they left with us, that they had a need, and we still pray for them. And some of them have been gone for years. It'd be nice to know if the need was met, but we still pray for them. They're brothers, they're sisters in the Lord. There shouldn't be any division. We should be friends, not enemies. Along that line, we should remember our brethren. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. This is Paul writing to the young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, reminding him of certain things. Intercessory prayer, we just mentioned that. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. In ceasing to pray for you. That's so, so very, very important. And then 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. It's good to remember others, especially the brothers and sisters, and to pray for them. Even if you think they have a bad fault, well, go to the Lord about it and say, all right, Lord, I think you ought to do something about that. And then sometimes the Lord will tap you in the shoulder and say, yeah, well, about this fault too. I'll take care of him or her, but how about you? We all have shortcomings and we do stumble and fall sometimes. But the one thing I can say through the ministry, I've had to make some hard decisions in the past. And sometimes you cry yourself to sleep for a while. But as long as you did it in the right way and for the right reason, you should have no trouble sleeping at night. You should have no trouble sleeping, and I don't. I have no trouble. There was a time when people were more concerned for friends than they were for themselves. There was a time. There was a time. Then you come to number 6 in our list. We should remember the truths of God. We should remember the truths of God. John 14:26. We make up envelopes for people who can't come because of illness, sickness, or whatever. And we send that out every week. And we always put a bulletin in there and a prayer list and a scripture verse. This is the scripture verse I put in for this. They'll receive that on Monday. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all the truth? That's so very important. We should remember the truths of God. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Now, speaking about the truths of God. Number 7, I think we're at now. We should remember our parents. We should remember our parents. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Around this time of the year, because Dad served in the Navy, but there's other times in the year too, I think of Dad and Mom. But I often think sometimes, and I might be sitting on the porch, just the other day this happened, and I think to myself, boy, that Dad, when I was a teenager, he was a lot smarter than I was, although I thought I was smarter than him and the rest of the world. And boy, it would be nice, with certain situations that come up from time to time, if I couldn't sit down and just pick his brain one more time, just one more time, and talk to him. And you know, this here, maybe you don't think this way, but I think sometimes the other day, somebody had contacted me. I don't know if it was my brother or a friend or something. Do you have the recipe, your mother's recipe for this thing? And I don't think, well, you know, I don't know if I do, but let me go check, because Mary Ann has a lot of books and a lot of, she has, what do you call them, little boxes, 3x5 cards with recipes in. And I went and checked, and I couldn't find it. So that might be lost forever, I don't know. But I'm thinking to myself, boy, if Mom was just here, even with dementia, I bet she could rattle that recipe off to me and I'd be able to give it to somebody and they'd be able to enjoy it too. Yeah, yeah. We should remember our parents. Why so many teenage tragedies today? Part of what I wanted to read to you from that pastor, he was talking about parents nowadays, not all of them, but too many of them do not parent anymore. They don't even know how to parent. That's sad. I had an incident happen. There's no names given, so I'm not divulging anything I shouldn't, but I was in the office the other day, and I saw some preteen girls out walking the dog, and they walked by, and there was something on another person's property that was not theirs to take, but they did. They took it, and they walked around for a while with it and stuck it somewhere else, and then they decided they were going to leave with it. So I stuck my head out the door. I said, girls, you need to... No, I'm sorry, that's not the way it happened. I saw them walk away. Then they came back, but they didn't have it with them. I said, girls, what'd you do with that thing you took out of that neighbor's yard? Well, I wanted to deny it at first. I said, well, I got a picture of you doing it. You can't take a picture of me. I'm a minor. You just stole something. You just stole something. You know, and that's the same as taking surveillance. If I show that to the police are going to come and knock on your door. You can't take my picture. I'm a minor. But it's all right to steal. I truthfully I was here for a while. It didn't happen. But I would not have been surprised if a angry looking mother, father would have come and knocked on the door and said, what's the idea of taking a picture of my preteen daughter? She stole? She stole something that was not hers? I don't think I was a perfect parent. I raised three. They're not in jail, haven't been that I am aware of, not on drugs that I'm aware of. All of them have a job. I wish they went to church more often than they do. They've raised children, and they've seemed to have turned out pretty good. So I might have done one or two things right. No parent is perfect. If you're a parent here today and you're perfect, raise your hand. We want to call the funny farm, all right? No. Okay. All right, we got that. All right. We should remember our parents. Why so many teenage tragedies? They've broken this commandment, many of them. They don't remember or honor their parents. Psalm 71:9. Cast me not off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Dad went pretty quick when he passed. I didn't know this. Now, Frank can be a witness to this because they had talked to Frank. And he says to Frank, before I went in the hospital the last time, he says, Frank, I want to give you a prayer request. I may not get this wording exact, but I think it'll be pretty close, and I'll watch Frank and see if he nods his head yes. His request to Frank was, Frank, pray that the Lord will take me home to be with him. And he's doing this. And Frank, of course, said, well, Brother Rife, I'll pray that the Lord's will, or whatever he said to him, be done. But I just can't pray that prayer the way you wanted me to. And he went in, and they opened him up, said they couldn't do anything, closed him back up. And we went in to see him. And he was ready to go home the next day. He didn't make it. Frank, you might not have prayed that prayer, but I think Dad did, and the Lord took him home that same day. Mom, that was a little different. We tried to take care of Mom without putting her away or in a home. It's very hard to do. I tell my wife, that, look, if I get that bad, I'm going to give you an option instead of the home. Now, some of you might want to write this down so you can share this with your spouse or your children. So now what you do, when I don't know where I am, who I am, and I look at you and want to know who you are, get two trash bags, one in the other, put me in it, tie it up, and when the trash goes on Monday morning, set me out front and let them take me. Amy's look, you should have saw the look on Amy's face when I said that. Wow, why? She's shaking her head no. I don't know, maybe she thought you might want to do that. But anyhow, Mom, came time. We tried to keep Mom in her apartment as long as we could. She loved it. We would have people come overnight and stay. Well, you can only do that so long. And then when you constantly get calls at 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way, in fact, your daughter was one who would call because you know how small frame she was. Can you imagine her picking my mom up? There was no way. So I would get a call 3 o'clock in the morning. Your mother fell. Can you come and pick her up? So I would. I'd go up. I'd pick her up. And the first thing she'd say when I went in the door, "Now, Tom, I'm all right. I didn't hurt myself. I'm okay. I just couldn't get up." So you'd get her up, put her back in bed, make sure she was safe. Then eventually we had to put her in home. That's hard. That's hard. Very hard. And my brother, my sister, myself went in, signed all the paperwork. Some of this, you heard this story. But it fits very well with remembering our parents. And I said to the lady that was across the desk from me, I said, "Now, ma'am, this is not a family that's going to put our mother in this place. We want good care for her. But I can guarantee you that every day she is here, a member of the family, somebody from our church, or a friend, or another relative that's not sitting here will be here to see my mom." And you know, they have to document when you go in there. And you realize, as far as we can tell from the documents and what we were told, there was somebody in to see my mom every day that she was in there. And it was, I think, a little less than a year and a half. Every day. In fact, my brother, Russ Reif, if you're on his Facebook, every holiday, I guarantee you today, he has a picture of himself and mom, and she might be holding a sign that says, "Happy Memorial Day." He'd take pictures. It may not be a long visit, but we were there. And when I told the woman that, she looks at me and she says to me, "The squeaky wheel gets the oil." You know what that means, don't you? You watch out for her. Some people are put into homes and they don't see their children maybe once or twice a year. That's it. We should remember our parents. Remember our parents. What are we at? Number 8. We should remember our soldiers and heroes. We're doing that today. My dad taught me that a person in a military uniform was a hero, and I still honor that today. The Jewish soldiers were honored as they returned from battle. Do you remember what the ladies would shout? Saul didn't like it, but David came back from his victories. David has slain his tens of thousands. We're shouting and giving him honor. We should make much of our war heroes before our children. That we should do. We should remember how our country began as a Christian nation based on God's laws and what makes America great. Lest we lose it, and we're on that losing side right now. Because we've turned our back as a nation on God. And that's sad. That's sad. Number 9, we should remember the old paths. Remember the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What happened during that time in the history of the nation of Israel when Jeremiah was prophesying and saying this about sticking to the old paths? The enemies that came and took over Jerusalem and the children of Israel and took them into captivity treated the old prophet better than his own people did. And he was concerned about their souls and warning them how to change their lives and live differently for the Lord. So very, very important. I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. That's long gone forever. I'm talking about the best way to happiness, the old paths. The verse says, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's where it is. That's where you find happiness. I can give you entertainment, but it's not going to bring peace and happiness to your soul. It's the old paths. It's God's word. That's where it's at. And as long as I'm here, we're going to stick to that. And when I leave and we have to find somebody else, I hope that you find somebody that'll also stick to that. Not bend or bow and know how to take a stand. We should remember the old paths. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Well, what are the old landmarks? Well, first one, the old book. It's not old-fashioned. It's still current today as it ever was. You want peace, you want contentment, then follow this. There was mention in that little note that this pastor acquaintance of mine put in there. It's you can't legislate somebody to do right. That's a heart issue. You can't legislate that. You can take all of the instruments of harm away, and it's still not going to change the heart of the individual. He'll tear off the leg of the chair and beat you over the head with it until you're dead. Let's wise up. This isn't political. This is leaving the old paths. And sometimes we Christians are just as bad. You know, oh, we don't want to make waves. Don't want to make waves. I'm going to stay with the old book. If you want to change, go ahead, but I'm not going with you. I'm going to stick to the old paths. The next one, the old book was first. The next one is the old time religion. I'm going to stick with it. Thank you very much. This new stuff is sending people to hell at lightning speed. When they go to church and you know their ears are tickled, and sin isn't mentioned, and right and wrong ain't mentioned, and black and white isn't there anymore, it's gray. And they're living like the devil all week and come and put on a front one day a week. They're going nowhere. Going nowhere fast. The old time religion condemns Christians partying 6 nights a week and then singing in the choir on Sunday a.m. That's false, and it'll send people to hell, not heaven. The old country church. Sunday night, there were times when someone would light the kerosene lamps. They didn't have electric lamps. And they'd gather together. And everyone would gather around a piano even before the preaching started and sing for 45 minutes. I remember one time, I'll make this short, I had to fill in at a church. It was out in the country, out in the boonies. The directions were follow this black top road to this cinder road, and then you got a gravel road, and then another dirt road, and then you make a right at the, you know, the third pine on the left. And I got to the church, and of course, there were no McDonald's to stop on the way, and I had coffee on the way, if you understand where I'm going here. And I pull in, and it was dark time. And I said, could you show me the restroom? Now remember, an old church out in the country. They said, well, wait a minute. I'm thinking, wait a minute, just show me the restroom, buddy. That's all, just show me the restroom. Well, I didn't know what he was doing. He was walking around the back where they had an outhouse. And he had told me this later. He wanted to make sure that there was a 5-gallon bucket under the hole so I could take care of my issues, and then they could take care of the five-gallon bucket later. But they had church. The lights weren't the brightest. They were dim. And we had a good time that night. And I used the facility before I left. Old country church. Now, we're not in the country, but I'd say this building's pretty old, and I think the Lord has provided that we can take care of it, and we have all you here, and there'll be more coming, Lord tarries. Some will leave in different ways, you know, they'll pass away, the Lord will call them home. Other ones will get tired of the way I part my hair. They'll leave, you know, but whatever. But the old country church. Then after they sang for 45 minutes, the preacher would come and preach for an hour about the awfulness of sin and the horrors of hell, and then also the sweetness of heaven. The old-time religion is good enough for me. In fact, there's a song that says the same thing. The old hymns, we do it here. Are there some good contemporary hymns written? Yes, as long as they stick to the doctrine and you don't have, 7-Eleven music. What is that, 11 words repeated 7 times or whatever? I got that right, I don't know. Give me a message. Give me a message. The old rugged cross. Nothing but the blood. At the cross. Blessed assurance. And we could go on and on and on. I could have you read the hymn book. That's where it's at. That'll touch your heart. It'll make a difference. The old hymns. The old doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Doctrine, the blood atonement, Christian holiness, the second coming, eternal security, baptism by immersion, the virgin birth, the inspiration of the scripture, heaven, hell, that's doctrine that needs to be preached. Amen. And our last one. Everybody likes to hear that, the last one. Number 10, we should remember the Lord. We say, well, a lot of that was talking about that. Yeah, I know, but we're going to really concentrate on remembering the Lord. We do this regularly every month, first Sunday of the month, because he tells us, in fact, it's on this table up here, this do in remembrance of me. The me is Christ. There we are. Remembering his ultimate sacrifice is the main thing. But it should lead us to remember him in many other ways as well. Nehemiah 4:14 says, and I looked, rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. There is no reason you and I should fear any man. I don't care if it's the president, the king, the queen, whoever it is, we should not fear them. Now, should we obey the laws of the land as long as the laws of the land don't tell us to go against the law of Scripture? Yes. If I get a ticket for going 55 to 35, you know what I'm going to do? Pay it. Pay it. But when they tell me I can't come to this church and worship, guess what? I'm coming to this church to worship, or they're going to take me to jail. Remember him with our time. That's how you remember the Lord. Remember the Lord with our time. Remember him with our talents. We already covered that. Remember him with our treasure. He has given us a lot. Remember him with our talent. Remember him remember him in our thoughts. Keep that uppermost in our thoughts. There's scripture for that. Remember him in our tasks. Remember his mercy and his goodness. We didn't deserve what he did for us in salvation, and we don't deserve what he does for us now, but he does. Let's not forget these things that are so important. Remember his dying love. What did he say? Father, forgive them. Remember his comforting call. Come unto me. Come unto me. Remember his charge. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Remember his commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Judges 2:10, and we're done. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That's sad. And if we're not careful, that's the same way it's going to end up in America. And it starts to make sure that the next generation realizes what God has done and who God is, and it should come from us. Boldly. Boldly. That's what it's all about. So, some other things to remember on Memorial Day, other than this great nation and those that have sacrificed for it. First and most of all, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to even be here. And for us to even be the nation that we started out to be with Christian principles. Let's pray.